We're in the middle of a sermon series called Wisdom. We have defined a fool as someone who knows there is a God, but lives as though God does not exist. The Apostle Paul says in Romans, "For what can be known about God is plain to men, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." So a fool is someone who knows that God exists. He even claims to be a Christian, a believer, yet lives as though there is no God. A wise person, on the other hand, is someone who knows that God exists, takes that fact fearfully and seriously, and lives every day seeking to please him. The proverb says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So in this series, we will apply this principle to three major areas of life, namely friendship. We talked about friendship last week, and this week we're going to talk about honesty, and then next week, the coming week, we will talk about time. Today, I want to talk about honesty. In the secular world, lying and deception are often seen as ways to help people. Lying and deceptions are often seen as ways to help people to get ahead, right? To achieve results, to get what we want. Smart people are flexible. They will use whatever means there is, whatever means necessary to gain an advantage. As I was preparing this sermon, I checked out some statistics, and they are actually quite interesting. The average person tells 2 to 3 lies in a 10-minute conversation, okay? That includes white lies. So if the research is right, by the end of my sermon, I would have told at least 10 lies. That's how bad it is. There are, of course, more conservative estimates. If we take out the white lies, most people lie about 4 times a day. That adds up to 1,460 lies per year. Men lie an average of 6 times a day. Women lie an average of 3 times a day. Okay, so men lie more than women. But it is possible that women are just better liars, so they don't need to, you know, tell as much lies. Or maybe just men have more stuff, more things they want to cover up, so they lie more often. We don't know. Do you know that by age 3, most children know how to fib? And by age 6, most lie a few times a day. Where do they learn it from? That's right. Children learn the art of deception by imitating parents. Parents sometimes explicitly encourage their children to lie. So, grandpa bought an itchy sweater, and grandma bought an ugly stuffed animal for your birthday. What do you say? "Thank you, I love it." Children learn it from adults, and adults lie 4 times a day. What do they lie about, and why? Okay, this is a research that I picked up from 2017 issue of the National Geographic magazine. Is quite interesting. The biggest reason why we lie is to promote ourselves. If you can't see the words, it's the pink, red pink part of the pie chart. It adds up to 44% of our lies. 44% of the time we lie because we want to gain an economic advantage, we want to gain a personal advantage. We want to make a good impression, and we want to make people laugh so that we become more approachable, people like us more. And the second biggest reason we lie is the blue part, is to protect ourselves, right? That it adds up to 36% of all our lives, 36%. And it includes covering up our mistakes and avoiding consequences and responsibilities. Okay, so people actually do research on these kind of things. The next chart is even more interesting. Who lie the most? Okay, so this is plotting lying frequency against age. Okay, so the bottom part is age. The inner circle going out is from the youngest to the oldest, age group 6 to 8 all the way to 60 and 77. Okay, so that's age. And going this way is how often we lie. Okay, so beginning with age 6 to 8, it goes all the way up. The gray region says 29% of children between age 6 to 8 lie 1 to 5 times a day. 7%, that's the black region, lie more than 5 times a day. Okay, so that's how we read the chart. Going to the next layer is age 9 to 12, and we lie more frequently when we grow older. 43% lie 1 to 5 times a day, 14% lie more than 5 times. Growing up even more, age 13 to 17, that's the high school year, we are getting out of control. 59% lie 1 to 5 times a day, 15% lie more than 5 times. That adds up to 74%, meaning 3 out of 4 youths lie every day. But then, fortunately, things improve. Between age 18 to 44, 54% of us lie every day. That's 1 out of 2 people. By the age 60 to 77, 44% of us lie every day. Okay, so perhaps as we grow older, we just care less about other people, what they think of us, so we can finally be honest. Okay, so what is this saying? We are all liars. Okay, it's not a surprise. We all know that. High schoolers lie more than the rest of us. Okay, who are the victims? Okay, somebody lie, and then somebody are being lied to. Parents, I've got bad news for you. 86% of us lie to our parents regularly. 75% of us lie to our friends. 73% of us lie to our siblings. 69% of us lie to our spouses. So what can we make of all these? Well, lying is just a part of life. We learn it from our parents at a very young age. The more we lie, the better we are at it. And we lie mostly to promote ourselves and to protect ourselves. Occasionally, we lie to hurt other people, to harm other people. A smart person lies and does not get caught. A really smart person can even detect deception when he's being lied to. So it's just the way things work. It's how the world operates. Yet, when we look at the Bible, when we look at Proverbs, the collection of wise saying from King Solomon, one of the wisest person ever lived, we find it hard to appreciate some of his wisdom. For example, Proverbs 19 verse 1 says, "Better be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust." Better be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust. Really? Better be poor when you can be rich? 19 verse 9. The person who tells lies get caught. The person who spreads rumors is ruined. How often have you seen this happen? How often have you seen just the opposite? What really happened in everyday life is this. The person who tells lies get ahead. The person who spreads rumors is popular. He has more hits and more likes on Facebook. He has more followers on Twitter. So how can this be a wise saying written by the wisest man on earth? To understand this, we need to understand the worldview, the underlying assumption, the basic assumption of Proverbs. And then the worldview is this. God exists. God created the universe. God is the king and the ruler of everything. It is the foundational belief. And God is holy. He is good. He is powerful. And God is, most importantly, faithful. He is faithful. He is true to his words. He does everything he says. He is truth. What he says is truth. His word is truth. That's another foundational belief. So when God is king, he rules his kingdom with truthfulness, and he expects his citizen to be truthful. Honest people get ahead under his reign. Only a fool, knowing that God is king, will live as though he isn't. It is the Proverbs worldview. So if you are a Christian, you have a decision to make. Okay? So if you are not a Christian, if you don't believe things get much easier, you tell the truth, you lie, it's not a big deal. Okay? Everybody lies. Deception help us to get ahead, help us to gain an advantage, help us to make a good impression, help us to cover up mistakes, help us to avoid taking consequences. Everybody does it. It's necessary. But if you are a Christian, you know there is a God, and you know how he is, then you have a decision to make. Should you live as though God does not exist, or should you take him seriously? Seek to live truthfully in the midst of a crooked world. Who is the wise guy? Who is the fool? Today I want to tell you three reasons why lying, as appealing as it sounds, is actually a dumb idea for a Christian. Okay, for a Christian. If you are not a Christian, don't get offended, just tag along. There's no pressure on you. I'm just talking to Christians. Number one, the first reason. Lying, deception is dumb because the underlying assumption is a lie. The underlying assumption is a lie. Let me explain. Why do we lie? You have seen the research. We lie to promote ourselves. We lie to protect ourselves. Sometimes, occasionally, we lie to harm other people. But why would anyone lie if it is certain that our lies would be detected every single time? Right? If we are all like Pinocchio, nobody will ever lie because it shows. We lie because we believe that our lies can go undetected, right? We lie because we think we can get away with it. But wait a minute. If there is a God and God is all-knowing, how can anyone ever get away? King David says in Psalms 139, this is what he said. This is his confession. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it already. Even before a word, how can this be? Even before a word is on our tongue, you know it already. You know it altogether. Will any lie ever go undetected when this God is ruling the universe? We believe we can get away, but the belief itself is a lie. That belief is a lie. It is a false belief that the devil has planted in our mind. What I'm trying to say is this. We all believe something when we lie. We all believe something. And that belief can be a lie because we know that God is all-knowing. Another belief that we often have is, it's not a big deal. Everybody lies, so what if I lie? That's another lie. lying is a big deal. It is a big deal to God. It may not be a big deal to you. It may not even be a big deal to the person that you lie to. So what if you, you know, get an extra $20? Who cares? Lying is a big deal to God. And there's only one time in the New Testament when God has struck down somebody. Do you remember when that is? It's in Acts chapter 5. When this couple lied to the Holy Spirit, both of them dropped dead on the floor, on the spot. A fool is someone who knows that God exists and lives as though he doesn't. So next time before you lie, it would be wise to ask, what assumption am I making? What assumption am I making? And very likely the assumption is a false belief. Okay? It's a false belief that the devil has planted in our mind. Lying is dumb because the underlying assumption is a lie. The second reason, lying, deception is dumb because we are giving up our true identity. Let me begin by going to the research again. There has been a lot of scientific research in the last few years on how lying changes our memory. This is quite interesting. Here is a conclusion from one prominent researcher, and I quote, "In summary, the current results shows that telling a lie, in contrast to simply planning a lie, resulted in fabrication inflation and led liars to increase their belief in lies told with the intention of deceiving," end quote. Okay, so research is finding that the more effort someone has put into creating and telling a lie, the more likely he or she will confuse the lie with the truth. Okay? And this is why. We are quite good at remembering the content of our lie. Okay, we are quite good. We remember what we lied about. We're just not as good remembering where those lies come from, where the content comes from, okay? So in a typical lie, we usually base it on some truth, okay? There's a true event that has happened, and then we add fabrication to the event, okay? So we borrow material from stories that we have heard from everyday life experience, from our own experience, so we make it up as we go. The content of the lie comes from different sources. The more complicated the lie, with the passage of time, as our memory decay, we tend to forget where those sources come from. Okay, that's called source monitoring. We are not very good at source monitoring. And thus we can no longer distinguish the truth from the lie. That is the reason why. Another researcher concludes recently. The title of his research is called "The Effect of Repeated Lying on False Memory Development." And I quote, "Can people come to develop false memories for their own lies? The experiments reported in this dissertation in combination with the preliminary studies provide clear evidence that the answer is yes. Despite having full awareness that the information they were lying about was a complete fabrication, participants falsely assented to having witnessed those very same lies when tested approximately 1 month later, 30% of the time," end quote. Okay, why am I telling you this? Deception messes with our brain. It alters our memory. Although it does not, I'm not saying it happens every single time, okay? It does not happen every single time. But with the number of lies that we tell, chances are that our memory's integrity is being compromised all the time. The more sophisticated the lie, and the more often we lie, with the passage of time, the less likely we can distinguish the truth from the lie. Now, this is the significant part of this. Our identity is partially constructed by our memory. Okay, who we are is made up of our past, how we remember the past, what we remember the past. Okay, from our memory comes our identity. So the more we lie, the more we mess with our memory. And the more we mess with our memory, the harder it is to maintain a true identity. Okay, are you following me? If we do it often enough, our life will just become one big lie. We will be living an identity that is totally false. Okay, I want to tell you a true story. I once knew a friend who truly believed that he is a good father and an excellent husband. So when friends come together, when we get together, he would tell us stories after stories of what he has done for his wife and how unappreciative she had been to him. He would say that his wife wanted a divorce despite all the good things that he had done for her. She was lazy, she was irresponsible, she was disrespectful. And he would go on and on and on, and we would believe him. Until one day, it was found out that he had two adulterous relationships back-to-back within a period of 7 years. 7 years of lying. 7 years of covering up. 7 years of secrecy. 7 years of deception. 7 years of fabricating stories after stories about himself and his marriage. Can you imagine what that does to a person? Even when he was confronted with the facts, with all the evidence, he would deny it, and he would shift the blame on everyone else he knows. The Apostle Paul teaches the church and says, "For at one time, we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's our true identity in Jesus Christ. We are light in the Lord. We are children of light. Therefore, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We are supposed to expose darkness, not hide in them. We are supposed to live in the light, not live in the shadow. Whenever we choose to live in falsehood, we turn away from the light and we give up our true identity. How can we claim to be a child of God when our whole life is built upon lies? Lying messes with our memory. Lying messes up our identity. Lying is dumb because we would be giving up the greatest gift that God has given us. That is our identity in Christ. Now, if these two reasons are not enough to persuade you to come clean, I hope the next one will. The third reason is lying and deception is dumb because it is demonic. It's demonic. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about honest speech, Matthew 5:33, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" Okay, that's the Old Testament. That's the prophet. That's what Moses taught you. "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all." Okay, don't raise your hand. You don't need to raise your hand by heaven, for it is the throne of God. You don't need to put your hand by the earth, for it is his footstool. You don't need to, you know, put your hand facing Jerusalem because it is the city of the great king. "And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no." That's enough. Anything more you add to this comes from the evil one. That's how serious it is. Jesus is saying, every time you feel like you need to add something, you need to say more than the facts, to add weight to your story, whether it is just by changing a tone or adding a gesture, exaggerating the result, embellishing the plot, or by swearing or by taking an oath, the more you add to the truth, Jesus said, the more you are leaning toward evil. You are standing in the devil's territory. But why? Why is lying demonic? Jesus explained in the Gospel of John, addressing his opponent, Jesus said, John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. The devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his mother tongue. He speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Okay? So remember, we said earlier that when we lie, we are giving up our identity as children of light. Little do we know that we are not just giving it up. We are actually trading it. We have traded our identity with the devil. And in return, we are given a new identity, children of the devil, children of Satan. We have acknowledged him as our father. The devil is the original liar. He lied at the Garden of Eden to our ancestor. And he is the father of lies. Okay? So once we have made him our ally, he will hold us prisoner. Okay, that's his scheme. His scheme is to keep us in bondage to fear. We did something wrong, okay, so that's bad enough. And then we lied about it. That's doubling the fear. And then now we are inventing lies to cover up the original lie. So we are trapped. Each time we lie, we are pushing the Holy Spirit further and further away. And at the same time, we are giving permission for the devil to enter. We are sending out an invitation. Partner with me. Help me out. Make me smart. Give me ideas. That's how he gained access. Okay? The devil don't just come and possess you. You have to give him permission. Okay? They can't just force into your body. They don't possess you. You have to give them permission. This is how he gained access. This is how he enters, because we have given him permission. The Bible says God hates liars. Okay? The Lord detests lying lips. Proverbs 12:22. But he delights in person, in people who are trustworthy. So God is disgusted by liars. Not because of the lies. Right? Not because God has been deceived by our lies, so he hates us. God hates deceiver because they have lined up with the enemy. So seriously, if you are a prolific liar and you are a Christian, you need to stop. It would be wise for you to stop now while you can. So for the rest of the sermon, I'm going to tell you how. There are three things you can do to help you quit lying. Okay, it's not easy. It's not easy to quit lying, but it can be done. Okay, three things. Number one, clarify your belief. Number two, guard your identity. Number three, renew your allegiance. I'm going to be extremely practical this morning. Okay, I believe there are things that we can do to turn this around. So number one, clarify your belief. What do you really believe? Does God exist or not? Does he exist or not? Is he really all-knowing? Is he really all-powerful? Is he just? Is he righteous? If he's none of that, go ahead and lie all you want. It's a fair game. People lie to each other all the time. Okay? But if we know that God exists, and we believe that he is the all-knowing, all-powerful, just and righteous, holy God that he claims himself to be, then we need to stop pretending that no one will ever find out about our lies. Stop telling yourself that it's not a big deal. Okay, it may not be a big deal to you. it is a big deal to him because you have chosen to line up with the enemy. So clarify your belief and act accordingly. That's the important part. Wisdom is not how much you know. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. Okay, so he is what you can do. This is how you can act on your belief. Confess your sins to one another. Okay, I'm not crazy. It has to be done. I'm not trying to single out any person here, because pretty much almost everyone in here has lied. Okay? And I said almost because I don't want to offend the people who insist that they have never lied. If the statistics are right, most of us have lied to promote ourselves or to protect ourselves. And if you are still doing it, confess your sins. The Apostle John knows exactly what our struggles are, and he says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me read that promise to you again. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not too late. Things can be turned around. Okay, I'm not saying that you announce to the world that you are a liar, although we all know that we are. But you can find a spiritual leader, find someone you trust to confess your sins. Do you know where the devil gets his power from? Where does he get his power from? It's secrecy. Secrecy. The more dark secret that you are guarding, the more influence he has upon you. But if you lay your secret under the light, in the open, then all the darkness will be exposed. And the devil will no longer have any power to hold you prisoner. And you will finally be free. So I plead with you to take action. Clarify your belief. That's number one. Number two, guard your identity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For at one time we were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Our identity is light in the Lord. In order to reclaim our identity, we need to leave. We need to leave darkness. We were darkness at one time, but we are not supposed to stay there once we have become children of light. So here is what we need to do. Okay, I'm giving you another crazy idea. It sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. But it's the only way out. Disassociate yourself from liars and deceivers. Tell your boss, I don't want to be a part of this. Tell your partner, I can't go along with this anymore. I'm calling on accountants. I put accountants first. I'm calling out realtors, salesperson, customer service support, insurance brokers, business owners, managers, students. If your boss is asking you to cheat, maybe he is not asking you to, but you know that he's practically cheating. If your partner is creating a scam, leave. Take no part in darkness. Leave the project. Leave the team. Decline to participate. Now, I know it is hard. I'm not naive. it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith because it will cost you. It will cost you. You won't be in the loop anymore. You won't be included in the inner circle. You will miss the bonus. The person under you who is willing to take on the job as requested will get promoted. And at some point, you may even need to quit your job. That's why it's crazy. But in the middle of the passage, there is this verse that says, "For one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." What is pleasing to the Lord? Remember what we said about the wise person? The wise person is one who knows that God exists, takes that fact seriously, and sets out to please the Lord in everything he does. So this is the secret right here. The Lord's will is not hard to find out. It's right before your eyes. It can be found in all that is good and right and true. The Lord's will is really quite simple, okay? We all often talked about, you know, what is God's will for me? It's really simple. It can be found in what is good and right and true. That's the Lord's will for you. And in the 12 years that I have been a pastor, I've had brothers and sisters come up to me and said, "Pastor, will you please pray for me? I'm going to talk to my boss. I'm going to tell him that I'm not going to do it. I'm ready to resign if he pressures me to, but I know that God is faithful and he will make a way." These are people that I know, okay? These are people that I've spoken with, that I have prayed for, and they are in the congregation, and I'm so proud of them. They are the ones teaching Kapos now. They are the ones leading small groups. And you know what? They are actually doing quite well today. The family is doing quite well. The Lord is faithful. And I've heard stories about boss actually changing their mind because these brothers and sisters refuse to participate. They found favor in their boss's eyes. Can you imagine that? By saying no, they have actually made a difference. But then you need to make up your mind. Are you a child of light? And if so, do what is good and right and true. Leave darkness and be light. Number one, clarify your belief. Number two, guard your identity. Number three, renew your allegiance. Whose sons are you? Whose daughter are you? It all comes down to this question, right? Who do you want to call father? Who do you want to call father? If there is a prompting in your heart right now, you know the answer. Paul says in Romans 8, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." I mean, that's exactly where the devil wants you to be, a place of fear. His scheme is to keep you there for as long as possible. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." So if the Spirit is in here, if the Spirit is in you right now, he's crying out. Can you hear that? Call him Father. He is your real dad. Paul said the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. No matter how many lies you have told, you can't deny the Spirit is crying out on your behalf right now. The Abba God is your daddy. Choose him. So here's what you can do. Act on your belief. Renounce lying. Renounce deception. This is what you need to say in front of a spiritual leader or someone you trust. This is what you need to say. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce lying and deception. I will not be enslaved by deception anymore. I'm going to declare my allegiance to God, my Father. I am his child. I will use my life to please him. Deception stops today. From now on, I will not lie anymore. Amen. You need to say it. You need to, don't say it in your heart. You need to say it in front of someone. Say it out loud. Listen to this sermon online again. Repeat what I've just said, word for word. You may even want to practice it a few times before you say it properly. Because you won't be speaking to people. You will be speaking in the spiritual realm. You will be speaking in the spiritual realm. It's not to people that you talk to. It's to beings in the spiritual realm that you declare that you are cutting all ties with the devil. You will no longer be his slave. You will come clean. You will stay in the light because you are a child of light. Say it out loud in front of a witness. The day you renounce lying will be the day you are set free. It is drastic, it is bold, it is radical, but it is how you can be set free. I started with Proverbs this morning, so I want to end there as well. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Solomon, the wisest king, wrote toward the end of Proverbs, and he says, two things I ask of you, God, deny them not to me before I die. That's a bold request, okay? So if you're going to ask God for two things, give me these two things before I die, what will your two things be? Will it be money, a job, a house, a car, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, children, money, more money, health, long life? What will be your two things? God, I'm asking for two things before I die. Don't refuse me. This is Solomon, the wisest man ever lived. And this is his prayer. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. That's his first thing. And give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. God, I don't want to cross you. And I know that you hate two kinds of people. You hate deceivers. And you hate people who are proud. And I don't ever want to become those people. These are the two things that this wise person has asked for. So will you ask God for help this morning? Let's pray. Let's have a time of reflection and decisions. Let's make two decisions today, this morning. decision number one. Holy Spirit, please help us to make these two decisions. Decision number one, will you confess your sins? If you have recently lied, if you are still lying, if you are planning to lie, will you confess your sins? Remember the promise. God is faithful and just, and He is able to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the promise says. So the decision is, will you confess your sins? It doesn't have to be now. Will you confess your sins tonight? Will you call somebody and says, may I have a meeting with you? May I share something with you? Can I ask you to pray for me? Can I make a confession? Will you call somebody tonight? Second decision. Will you renounce lying? Meaning, from now on, you're going to stop. The reason we want to stop is not because lying is bad, lying is hurting people, you know, lying is not a popular thing to do. In fact, it is. We want to stop because we want to make a stand and declare that we are a child of God. We belong to the light. And we want to walk out of darkness. That's why we want to renounce lying. And we want to renounce deception. Will you make that decision today? And just affirm that, God, I belong to you. I want to belong to you. And I want to call you Father. And I want to cut all ties with the devil. Please stand.
The words of Christ passed down through generation. The Son of God teaching us to pray. Echo words, Father, have your will, your way in me. Completely, we wholly trust your faithful in provisions. Amazing grace, mercy for our sins. May we forgive the way that you've forgiven us, O Lord, so we can see. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Forever our God be exalted. Your kingdom come and in us. Let your will be done, our Father. Lead us from the valley of temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you reign, and here we stand victorious in your name. Together we pray.
The work of your hands, the moon, the sun, the solar system, and all the particles, the atoms, the molecules, the quarks and photons and whatnot, they all behave just as they are, exactly how you want them to be, because your law is good. But then the more we think about this, the more we realize, what is man that you are mindful of him? How seemingly small we are, and yet you care for us deeply. And who we are that we can call you Father. You created things for us to enjoy, but you have granted us relationship, therefore an identity to put on, so that we may be different from everything else that you have made. We are different from the stars, from the moon, from the sun, from the galaxies, because there in us, in our DNA, there is a signature. You have put your name in us that we remember you as our Father, that we call you as Father. What an honor. And the galaxies and the stars and the sun and the moon look upon us with admiration and adoration, because we've got to be called sons and daughters of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be sent to the world. You are light of the world. You are salt of the world. So go and make disciples and let people know who you are. And all the glory to him forever and ever. Amen.